Rav Herschel Schechter, Shuva Shir, September
26, 1990. The great Hasidic Rebbe from 100 years ago, the Avnei Nezer, the whom I'm very fond of quoting, when he was a young boy, he was very, very sharp as a young boy. So he went home as a child, he went home to eat, and Yom Kippur came back to shul, and his father was also a big Hasidic Rebbe. So the father asked him, "Nu Avremela, did you say Kiddush before you ate on Yom Kippur?" He said, "No." He said, "Why not? You're eating on Yom Kippur, so why shouldn't you say Kiddush?" So he always was very sharp. His tshuvas are always very, very sharp. So he said, "No, the Gemara says that the whole idea of children doing mitzvahs is mitam chinuch. You have to train them so that when they get older, they'll do the mitzvah after bar mitzvah. But after I'll be bar mitzvah, I won't be eating on Yom Kippur, so I won't be saying Kiddush. So there's no use in saying Kiddush now. There's no mitzvah chinuch." The question is that really so? Let's say there's a person, an older person, a choyla, a zaken, whom the doctor says has to eat on Yom Kippur. He's not doing any aveira, it's a mitzvah. The same way it's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur for those who are healthy, it's a mitzvah to eat for those who have to eat. So what if an older person has to eat on Yom Kippur? Does he say Kiddush or not? The Gemara says that it's a biblical obligation, it's a mitzvah in HaTorah to recite Kiddush. On Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, and on Yom Kippur. Min HaTorah, you yotzei the Kiddush, Yom Tov, and on Yom Kippur. Min HaTorah, you yotzei the Kiddush just by reciting the words without any cup of wine. That's how we pass from a different opinion. That's how we pass from the Shulchan Aruch. So when you daven Nishman Esher, and you mention that today is Rosh Hashanah, today is Shabbos, today is Yom Tov, so you yotzei the Kiddush deraisa. But the Rabban that made a takana that one should recite the Kiddush al Hayayin. So should one who is eating on Yom Kippur recite Kiddush al Hayayin? So the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and his commentary on the Aruch Hayim quotes that there's a dispute about this. One who has to eat on Yom Kippur, should he recite Kiddush al Hayayin or not? And it's generally accepted that not. That since reciting Kiddush al Hayayin is only the Rabbanon, then after one is yotzei Kiddush just the Dvarim and the person daven Shemoneh Esrei, he just recites the bracha, he thanks to the Baruch Shalom for giving us Shabbos, for giving us Yom Tov, for giving us Yom Kippur, he's yotzei Nater. So Kiddush al Hayayin, holding a cup of wine, is only a takana with the Rabbanon. So the Chachamim made a takana on Yom Kippur because normal healthy people are supposed to be fasting on Yom Kippur. So everybody relies on the din d'oraisa. That's the way it's generally assumed. The question is, what about this year? When Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so because of Yom Kippur, it wouldn't be required to recite Kiddush al Hayayin. The Chacham never made a takana. But every Shabbos of the year, the other 51 Shabbos of the year, there is a takana with the Rabbanon to recite Kiddush al Hayayin. So this week should be the same. So the normal healthy people who are able to fast, of course, are not going to say any Kiddush. You're not allowed to drink the wine. The Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. So even if we would say Kiddush and give the wine to someone else, we wouldn't be eating any Kiddush. It wouldn't be B'makom Suda. But what about the people who have to eat this Shabbos, the people who have to eat? Should they recite Kiddush or not? So Rabbi Akiva Eger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and the big Shulchan Aruch, has a comment and he says yes. He says on a normal Yom Kippur, there's no takanas chachamim to recite Kiddush al Hayayin, because why should a chacham make a takan? Everybody's supposed to fast. But on Yom Kippur that falls out on a Shabbos, and the Tam Shabbos one is obligated to recite Kiddush al Hayayin. So the people who fast, of course, I'm not going to say Kiddush, but the people who have to eat are required to recite Kiddush al Hayayin. The later Paskim don't accept this idea of Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Chaye Yodam, and Hilchas Yom Kippur, and the Balatanya, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the later Paskim all say that it's not so. That even this year, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, if somebody has to eat, whether a child is eating, or an older person, or a sick person is eating, so there's no takanas chachamim that he should recite Kiddush al Hayayin. The question is, why not? He maybe has a good argument. On a regular Yom Kippur not, but this year is Shabbos, so why shouldn't he be obligated to recite Kiddush and Tam Shabbos? So in the yeshivas, this is a famous discussion, and it runs as follows. There is a chakira, there is a question. When you have a certain day of the year that's endowed with two Kedushas Hayom, let's say Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so it's a double header. Or Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So you have a Kedushas Hayom because it's Rosh Chodesh, and the day is endowed with a Kedushas Hayom because it's Shabbos. So this week is Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So should we assume that it's Yom Kippur superimposed on top of Shabbos, or Shabbos superimposed on top of Yom Kippur, whatever you want to say? The day happens to have two independent Kedushas Hayom which are coexisting, or should we somehow assume that it's Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated, that the two blend in together to constitute a new form of a Kedushas Hayom? There's a Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, and there's a Kedushas Yom Kippur, and there's a new thing, there's a new animal that's called Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated. So in the yeshivas, there's a big discussion about this. What's the difference? So medreita him, so medreita herav. So Avraham Kovitz used to say a chakira that doesn't have an afkamin, it's nishke chakira. What's the difference when you say that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it blends into the one kedushas hayom or the two independent kedushas hayom? So in the yeshivas, they have all the afkamin. So yeshivas, we've worked everything out. We've had yeshivas for hundreds of years. So they've worked out the following discussion. The din is that if a person eats on Shabbos, and when you finish eating, you have to recite the Birchas Hamazon. And what if in reciting Birchas Hamazon, you forgot to say it said? Supposed to mention it today, Shabbos. So the Gemara says that you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon because one is obligated to eat a Suda on Shabbos and to declare and to make the Suda into a Suda Shabbos by reciting Kiddush in the beginning and by mentioning it say in the Birchas Hamazon at the end. What about Yontif? If a person eats a Sudas Yontif, the night of Yontif, the day of Yontif, he eats a Sudas Yontif and it benches and he forgot to say Yal Yav. So again, the Gemara says, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah, Birchas Hamazon, you're Yotzei, but you're not Yotzei the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. In order to be covered the Suda as a Sudas Yontif, we require again, you should say Kiddush in the beginning, and you should mention Yal Yav and the Birchas Hamazon at the end. What if it's Rishchaydish, Yal Yav, and the person ate a meal, he ate a sandwich, and he forgot to mention Yal Yav and the Birchas Hamazon? So the Gemara says, then you don't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. Because on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, true, a person is forbidden to fast, but he's not obligated to have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh and have Hamoitzi and bench Birchas Hamazon. As long as he has a banana, a potato, whatever, he has a cup of coffee, so he's not in violation of the Issa Tonus. He's not fasting on Chol HaMoed, he's not fasting on Rosh Chodesh. And he wasn't really obligated to have pas, to have a meal of bread, and to have Birchas Hamazon and to recite Yal HaVeYavar. Even if he happened to have bread, and he has to recite Birchas Hamazon, and he really should have said Yal HaVeYavar, but if he benches and he forgot Yal HaVeYavar, he's certainly yotzei the Birchas Hamazon. You can't say he's not yotzei the Suda. What Suda? When Suda? He's not obligated to have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. He's not obligated to have a Sudas Chol HaMoed. The question is, what? Yeah, that's a different story. Okay. So the question is, what if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos and the person is obligated to have Shabbos Shudas? Three Sudas, Suda on Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos Shudas. And he recites Birchas Hamazon, fine and dandy, and he said Ritzei, and he forgot Yal HaVeYavar and the Birchas Hamazon. So, on the one hand you can say he doesn't have to bench over the Birchas Hamazon because what did he forget? He forgot Yal HaVeYavar. No, Rosh Chodesh you're not obligated to have a meal. But on the other hand, what do you mean Rosh Chodesh you're not obligated? But today, this Rosh Chodesh, you were obligated to have a meal because it happens to be Shabbos. Yeah, but that obligation that you have to have a meal is on Shabbos. Accidentally, today happens to be Shabbos. At the second, coincidentally, it happens to be Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. But the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is not mechayev you to have the Suda, or maybe I should say no. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. The two Kedushas Hayoms blend in to constitute one new Kedushas Hayom. It's not Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated constitutes a new type, a new form of a Kedushas Hayom. And today, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, both together are mechayev us in the Suda Shabbos. So what's Taka the Din, Halacha Lamaisa in such a case? That's the Machlekes. Machlekes in the tour. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's no machlekes. The din is that you yotzei. Again, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos and the person ate Friday night, but he ate Shabbos morning, and he ate a meal with challah and everything, and he benches, he says Birchas Hamazon, and he remembered to say Ritzei for Shabbos, but he forgot to say Yal HaVeYavar for Rosh Chodesh. So the tour, the son of the Rosh, the tour that the whole Shulchan Aruch is patterned after the tour, quotes that he had a dispute with his brother. The Rosh had more than one son. Rabbi Yankov Balaturim is the famous son, then he had other sons. So the Torah writes he had a dispute with his brother about this, and in the Shulchan Aruch we task him that you don't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. Why? Because it's only Shabbos that obligates you to have the Suda. Rosh Chodesh doesn't obligate you to have the Suda. There is also a famous discussion, even though this Taka from Achsidish Rebbe, from the Avnei Nezer Taka, but it's known in the yeshivas. Yeshivas, they say, in the name of the Avnei Nezer, the following discussion. The Gemara has in Maseches Erech and Daf Yud, a discussion of the obligation to recite Halach. When do we say Halach? On Yom Kippur, we say Halach. On Yom Kippur, we recite Halach. So the Gemara asks, what is Halach based on? It's an expression of Simchas Yom Kippur. There's a Simchas Yom Kippur by Achil Oshtiyo, by Simchas Tavuf, and then one has to express Simchas HaNefesh by reciting Halach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by praising God. So the Gemara says, well, what about Rosh Chodesh? The Chumash says, V'yom Simchas Kippur Meredech Rosh HaShechem, the Chumash puts together Rosh Chodesh together with all the other Yamim Tovim. So it would appear, that's how the Torah writes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, would appear in the name of the Gaon, he quotes, that there is some type of a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. So shouldn't that Chiyuv Simcha obligate us to recite Hallel on every Rosh Chodesh, which we don't do? We only recite Chatzi Hallel. on the Shkodesh. And the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Tainu, because that's only a minhag. It's not a real obligation. The Gemara, in fact, tells a story that one of the Chachamim, Rav, who was a student of Rav Yudah Nasi, when he came to Bavel, he was unaware of this minhag, never heard of it in his life. Rav Shmuel, the famous Rav, learned in Eretz Yisrael all the time, came to Bavel, never heard of it. He walked into Shul on Rosh Chodesh one fine day, the Balabatim are singing away Hallel. So the Gemara says, Tavel Apsikinum. He was going to go over to the Chaz and tell him to stop. What are you saying, Hallel, in the middle of the year? It's not Pesach Shavuos or Sukkot. So there, in Kevin Nechaza, the Komadalgi Dilugi, what he noticed that they're skipping every other paragraph, he was apparently they dabbed pretty quickly. He wanted to walk over to the Chaz when he started saying Hallel. He wanted to walk over to tell him not to stop saying Hallel. So by the time he walked over, he was probably standing in the Mizrachan, no, Rav. So by the time he walked over to the Chazan, he had already skipped a chapter. We say two chapters in Hallel, then we skip the third chapter. No, he had already skipped the chapter and was ready in the fourth chapter of the Hallel, the fourth section. So he realized that something different. He knows that on Pesach Shavuos, because you don't skip, you say Gan Hallel. So Rav realized it must be a minig. Oh, it's a minig, so let them do their minig. Can recite the Chati Hallel on Shavuos. But that's not a real obligation. The Gemara says it's a minig that they never heard of in Eretz Yisrael. No, it's pretty universal. You can recite the Hallel. But in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amoraim, they didn't have this minig in Eretz Yisrael to recite Chatzi Hallel. So the Gemara asks in Erech and Daf Yud, why not? If Hallel is an obligation to be recited on Yom Tovim as an expression of Simchas Yontif, no, Am Eshchel is also an obligation of Simcha. So why is one obligated to express that Simcha by reciting Hallel Shalei? So the Gemara says, no, the Eshchel really only has the Kedusha Sayyim in the Beis HaMikdash when you bring the Korbanos HaMusafi. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're permitted to do Malacha, and there is nothing that you do. You don't shake a lulav on Shchedesh, you don't eat matzah, you don't have a seder, you don't blow shofar, there's no mitzvah. So there's no way to demonstrate it. All we do is we say Yalav Yavin, davening, we say Musaf, that's about all. But there's no mitzvah outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Gemara says, because Rosh Chodesh is loy igdish basiyas malacha, because it doesn't have kedushas hayom and get the malacha, so the whole kedushas hayom of Rosh Chodesh is limited to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says it doesn't make sense to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Then the Gemara says, no, what about Shabbos? Why not recite Hallel on Shabbos? Shabbos, you have an Issa Malacha. So that's all over the world, you have an Issa Malacha. The significance of Kedusha Shabbos is not limited only to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, yeah, Shabbos has significance all over the world, not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. But there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos. Shabbos is not called a Moed. So the Abnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. So he gave one Shalashudas Torah. He used to say Halacha, Agoda, Drush, Chassidus, everything all together. So he once gave Shalashudas Torah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, on this Kashi. He started off, Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Malacha because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Shabbos, you don't say Halach. You don't say Halach on Rosh Chodesh because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Shabbos, you don't say Halal because there's no Chiyuv Simcha. Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Halal because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. But if you have Rosh Chodesh, Shechali is the Shabbos, so you have everything. It's also Basiyas Malacha, and it's a Chiyuv Simcha because it's called Moed. Rosh Chodesh is the Moed. So why don't you say Halal Shalem, which we don't do, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, why not say Halal Shalem? And we don't. We only recite Chatzi Halal, and we assume that it's the same old Minhag as on every Rosh Chodesh, and the Sephardim have the practice that they don't recite a Bracha when they do Minhag. They don't say a bracha shekir shana ben mitzvos and tzivona. It's not a mitzvah and atar. It's not a mitzvah and derabana. So they don't say a bracha when they say chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh. So why is it that when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, why shouldn't we be obligated medina to recite halal shalom with a bracha l'chol ha'deis? That was Avnei Nezer's kasha. So he said he started off his drasha by saying he doesn't think that it's a kasha at all, because when you have Rosh Chodesh falling out on Shabbos, it's not a new thing that the two kedushas combined together. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. Shabbos Luchud and Rosh Chodesh Luchud. So Shabbos doesn't obligate you to recite Hal because Shabbos is not a Moed. Shabbos has no Chiyuv Simcha. And Rosh Chodesh that has a Chiyuv Simcha is Mutar Basiyas Malacha. So Rosh Chodesh is not Machayiv in Hallel. So if they have zero and zero, so you add together nothing with nothing, so you're left with nothing. It doesn't add up to anything, so you can't have any Chiyuv to recite Hal. The Teretz that the Avnei Nezer gave, then he gave Al Derech HaChassidus, the whole Drosha, what's the nature of the Kedusha Sayyim and Rosh Chodesh called his B. But the teretz that he gave is all working on the assumption, on the premise, that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the two Kedushas do not blend in to constitute one new Kedushas Hayom. If he would have said, like the other opinion, that Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh blend in together to make a new Kedushas Hayom, then you have a strong kasha. Why shouldn't you recite Halal Shalem, Mitzad Iker Adin, on Rosh Chodesh Chol Yisbe Shabbos? So that's how we assume Halacha L'maaseh. When Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, they're two separate Kedushas Hayom. And if the person recites Birchas Hamazon, and he said, but he forgot the Alav Yavoi for Rosh Chodesh, he wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. And that's why we assume, since they're two separate Kedushas Hayayim, one superimposed upon the other, and they don't blend in to constitute one new type of a Kedushas Hayayim, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, so that's why we assume that there's no obligation to say Halasha. Yeah, so this is the way we assume that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the two Kedushas don't blend in to constitute one Kedushas Hayayim. Still doesn't necessarily prove what the din should be when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily prove that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two don't blend into one Kedushas Hayayim. Maybe it's only Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is Mutar Ba'asiyas Melacha. There are some things that just don't blend in. You can mix, water with oil, it's not going to blend in. They're different. But there are some things that do blend in. So maybe Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos are non-blendable. Maybe Yom Kippur and Shabbos, along the same lines, Yom Kippur has an Isa Melacha and Shabbos has a bigger Isa Melacha. So maybe those two do combine. Maybe Yom Kippur and Shabbos blend in even better, because on Yom Tov you have a heter reichel nefesh. You're permitted to cook on Yom Tov. You're permitted to carry it. Yeah, if you have to, even if there's no air, you're permitted to carry things that you need on Yom Tov. On Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to do anything. Yom Kippur is exactly the same as Shabbos. Anisa malacha with no heter reichel nefesh. So maybe one should say that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two kushes blend in together. But that's the way they say in the yeshivas. The oil of my yeshivas, they say in the yemiv Yor Sameach, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, the two Kedushas Hayom blend in to constitute one new Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated, and therefore the kasha that the he'orah that Rabbi Kivega brought up, that on a normal Yom Kippur when a person has to eat, we understand why he doesn't recite Kiddush, why there's no obligation to recite Kiddush. The Rabbanim would have a masakeh in Kiddush alayayim, because under normal circumstances people are not going to eat on Yom Kippur. But when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, that's Shabbos. So why isn't Shabbos mechayv you to recite Kiddush? But the Yeshivas, they say, in the name of Yor Sameach, in his commentary on the Rambam, no, this coming Shabbos is not Shabbos. No, it's not Yom Kippur, and it happens to be Shabbos. It's Shabbos, Yom Kippur, a new thing. It's the third thing. It's not Shabbos, and it's not Yom Kippur. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, hyphenated. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, hyphenated, there's no obligation to say Kiddush. No, on a normal Shabbos, there's an obligation to teach all shooters. This Shabbos, it's not that there's an obligation to teach all shooters, but you're prevented from fulfilling it because on the other hand, it's Yom Kippur. There's no conflict. It's not on the one hand, on the other hand, we're going to have to figure out, it's a tug of war, we're going to have to figure out what's going to win, who's going to win. Shabbos is going to win, Yom Kippur is going to win. No tug of war. The two blend in together. Shabbos, Yom Kippur blend in together. So that's why it's generally assumed that even on this Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, Shechali is the Shabbos, for those who have to eat, for the children or the older people or the Chaylim, the Skenim have to eat on Yom Kippur, one doesn't recite Kiddush. There never was a Takonas Chachamim to recite Kiddush al Hayayin on this Yom Kippur Shechali is the Shabbos, because it's a new thing. It's not that it's a Shabbos. It's a Shabbos Yom Kippur with a new type of Kedushas Hayayin. It's interesting, there is yet another Nafkimina. In the Yeshivas, they don't discuss this Nafkimina. This is for the Siddur, this is for Balabatim. You know, Yeshivas, they have their topics that they discuss, and they leave other things for the Balabatim. But in the Siddur, if you look in a big Siddur, the Oitzat Tfilas, they have on the bottom of the page, they had big Gedolim, broke their heads, to figure out what's going on in the Siddur. The Yeshivas, they like to break their heads on other things, but the real big Gedolim figure, they learned everything, the Siddur and Tanakh and everything, gotta learn everything, not just the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. So in the Siddur there is a discussion. This Shabbos, when we daven Shemayin Esrei, and you say Yalav Yovoi, or let's say Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. So when you daven Shemayin Esrei, you say Yalav Yovoi. So you say Yalav Yovoi Agiyah BeYerav Yotov Shama Yipach Lizotah Zechaneh. So then it's Yoyim Chagamatzus Hazeh. Do you mention also the fact that it's Shabbos? The Yoyim HaShabbos Hamaroyach Hazeh, or Yoyim Chagamatzus Hazeh. Shabbos and it's Yom Tov. So you only mention Yom Tov. So the old practice of the Balei HaTaisus was that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, and when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, and when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, and the Daven in Shemayin Esrei, and you say Yalav Yovei, you mention the Yom HaShabbos HaManoach Hazeh, or the Yom HaShachodesh Hazeh, or the Yom HaShabbos HaManoach Hazeh. Manoach means the day of rest. The whole day of Shabbos, day of rest, or the Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, the Yom Chag HaShavuot Hazeh, whatever it happens to be. And that's the way, believe it or not, that's what it says in the big Shulchan Aruch. Not the Mechaber, the Ramor. Mechaber, the Sfardim follow the Mechaber. The Ramor tells you what the Ashkenazim do. The Ramor says that when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos and you say Yalav Yovei in the davening, you mention the Yalav Yovei, the Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh, the Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to do. Now he's not well. That was his practice. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Balei HaTaisus did. When they daven Shemayin Esrei and they said Yalav Yovei, when it was Yom Tov, Shechali is B'Shabbos, or Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos, they would mention the Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh, or the Yom HaShachodesh Hazeh. The Mishnah Brura by the Chavetz Chaim on the bottom of the page quotes that even though that's what the Ramor writes in the 1500s, that was the practice in the Balei HaTaisus in the 1200s, the 1100s, and the 1000s, That's not the practice any longer. He quotes the Taz and the Mahan Avraham and all the commentaries on the Shulchan. We don't do that anymore. As it says, printed in every Siddur. Every Siddur has like that. Has the Alevi of it. It doesn't say, but Yom HaShabbos has it. Yom HaShabbos HaMonech has it. We don't mention Shabbos and the Alevi of it. Why not? So if you look in the big Siddur, the Itzah Tefillah, they quote on the bottom of the page, Great Goyin HaYoylam. They used to learn Siddur, the Yuen Heitei. But they quote Rabbi Shai Berlin. Every 10 pages they have comments from Rabbi Shai Berlin. Same one who wrote comments on the side of the Gemara, wrote comments on the side of the Siddur. Longer comments on the Siddur than he has on the side of the Gemara. So he writes, our practice is that we don't mention Shabbos and Yalav Yov for the simple reason. On a normal Shabbos, you don't say Yalav Yov, right? Not in benching and that and that. Right? Shabbos Yechovi is Shabbos and Yom together. Why? Because Yalav Yov is a tefillah. All of the tefillahs are patterned after some psukim in Tanakh. The Lashon HaTefillah has to be based on Tanakh. So what is the tefillah of Yalav Yov based on? So the Rishonim say, the Abu Dram and the other Rishonim say, it's based on his pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, where the Torah says, "Yimei Shnei Yom Tzmachaschem and Gmayadechem and Rosh Hashanechem and Yomim Tovim." Uskaitem b'chatzotros alolasechem al zivchei shamechem. You should blow chatzotros in the Beis Hamikdash in conjunction with the Hakrovah Hamusafim. That's the pasuk we just said on Rosh Hashanah, on the end of the Shofaris. That's the 10th pasuk at the end of the Shofar. It's interesting. The Nusach Hatzilah just unrelated to tonight's talk. It's interesting, in the end of the Shofros Baruch of the Shmonesri on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, rebuild Yerushalayim, and then Shom Nasa Lefanacha Korbanos Kav Usenu. No, that's what we say in, earlier we say, we will bring all the Tmidim and all the Musaf. I don't know if this has, doesn't have for Rosh Hashanah? Oh, yeah, it does have. Maybe? No. No, it doesn't. So in the last pasuk, right before the last pasuk of the Shofaris, we say, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Sham Nasa Lefanacha Korbanos Chaviseinu. How do you translate? And there in the Beis HaMikdash, Nasa Lefanacha Korbanos Chaviseinu. The korban is the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, as it says in the pasuk. And then you're supposed to quote it. You just promise you're going to quote a pasuk that says about korbanos. We don't say there's an obligation to bring one. We say, as it says, of yom simchaschem of mayadech and rosh hashanah, uskaitem b'chatzotus alolosechem v'al zivchei shamechem. Here it is in the Birm Bam Maksos on page 393. So it says, the shom nasal afanachas korbanos choy voiseinu kimutuv aleinim sarasecha itemosh adecha. As Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us in the Torah, the people of Decha called war, of Yavshim Chasma Decha, Rosh Hashem, Miskaitem Chatzos, the Salah Yosef, and Zuk Hashem Lechem. It doesn't say you have to bring Karbonis. Yeah, it says you should blow Chatzos in conjunction with bringing Karbonis. That's Derech Agav. By the way, the Pasuk happens to mention that you're going to be bringing Karbonis. That's not the main theme of this Pasuk. Very strange Lashon HaBrachah. So if you look in the big Siddur, in the Oitzah Tefillah, the Siddur is Moiridik. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say, that Rav Chaim, I don't know why, that Rav Chaim was his grandfather. All the Gedolim worked hard until he used to say, Rav Chaim made the Siddur into Sefer Limud, because he gave a lot of shiur on brachas and on tefillah and on kriyashma. It was before Rav Chaim also was a Sefer Limud. So if you look in the big Siddur, the Oitzah Tefillah, he quotes from Gedolim who think that there's a misprint here. That instead of saying, Shom Nasa Lefanachas Korban is Chaviseinu, the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, you should say, Shom Nasa Lefanacha Chavas Korban Iseinu. Just the opposite. Chavas Korban Iseinu means the obligation that we have in conjunction with the Korbanas. So then you recite the pasuk. You have to blow chatzotzos in conjunction with the Korbanas on the sofa. But the way we daven, we say, and then we will bring Korbanas Chaviseinu, the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, as it says in the Torah. And that's not the right pasuk. The right pasuk was quoted earlier. And then it says the korban. It's the wrong pasuk. So the pasuk says the Yalav Yovai. Getting back to Arthur, the Yalav Yovai prayer, which we recite on Rosh Chodeshim and on Yom Tovim, is patterned after this pasuk. Of the Yom Simchaschem and Moyadechem with Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodeshim, we have an obligation to blow chatzotzos in the Beis Hamikdash in conjunction with the offering of the korbanos hamasafim. In conjunction with the korbanos that we offer, for what purpose should we blow chatzotzos? The purpose of the tkiyas chatzotzos is that the Rebbeinu Shlom should remember us. So So that's exactly why we substitute Yalav Yavav Yagir Zechaneinu Fikzeinu Vizechana Vizeinu Vizech Meshach David Abdecha. We no longer have any Beis Hamikdash. We don't bring any Karbonis. In the Melech, we don't have the possibility to blow the Chatzotzois in conjunction with the Karbonis HaMitzofim. But the purpose of the Chatzotzois was V'hayu Lechem, the Zikaron of Baruch Hu should remember us. The Taiva, of course, remember us in Taiva, not the Ruach. So we recite the Tfilos, B'makom Karbonis, and B'makom everything else that comes with the Karbonis. So we pray Abba Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yalav Yav Zichronenu Figurenu Zichron Mashiach and David Abdecha Zichron Shalom Kadosh Zichron Klabei Yisrael Lefanecha. That's B'makom V'hayu Lechem Lezikaron. But on Shabbos, the pasuk doesn't say that that you blow chatzitzis on Shabbos, so that's why we don't recite Yalav Yav on a regular Shabbos. We recite Ritzei in the Birchas HaMazon. Why don't you just say Yalav Yav and say Biyom HaShabbos HaZeh? Well, you have to have a whole different nusach. Whether it's Rosh Chodesh or it's Rosh Hashanah or it's Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkot or Chalamoid, you say Yalav Yav. You just change the line. Biyom Chalamoid HaZeh, Biyom Chag HaMatzah HaZeh, Biyom Chag HaSukkot. So the same thing on Shabbos. Say Yalav Yav and say Biyom HaShabbos HaZeh. What's the problem? The answer is no. The whole nusach Yalav Yav Zichronenu Figneinu Zichron Kabeis Yisrael Zichron Mashiach Nav Nav doesn't fit in. There's no chatzitzis on Shabbos. There's no Vahoy Lachem Lezikaron. But that's why we say a whole different nusach. We say Ritzei, and the same thing in the Shemona Esrei. Why don't you just say Yalav Yav Mayan Shabbos in the Shemona Esrei? Said Yom Hashabbos Hazeh. No, we don't do that. You have a whole different nusach for Shabbos. Why? Because the whole idea of Yalav Yav Zichronenu Zichron Mashiach Nav Nav, the whole thing only applies to Yomim Tovim to Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. That's what the Gedolim Tainit do, say when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, or Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. So why was the practice of the Balei HaTesis, and why does the Shulchan Aruch quote that, the Ramah quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, that when you recite the Yalav Yavai in the Shemoneh Esrei, or in the Birchas HaMazon, you say Yalav Yavai, B'yayim HaShabbos HaMorech HaZeh, or B'yayim Rosh Chodesh HaZeh, B'yayim HaShabbos HaMorech HaZeh, or B'yayim Chag HaMatzis HaZeh. What do you have to put in Shabbos for? Shabbos has no shaitis with Yalav Yavai. Say, Yom Rosh Chodesh HaZeh. Shabbos doesn't fit in. So that's our practice. That's why we assume our practice today is that when you say Yalav Yavai, you don't mention Shabbos. You only mention Yom Tov. That's exactly why. The question is, but what about this Shabbos? What about this Shabbos? When it's Shabbos Yom Kippur, and we assume Halacha L'maaseh that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it's not that Ha'ilichudikoy v'ha'ilichudikoy, that it happens to be Shabbos, and it happens coincidentally to be Yom Kippur. And each one is independent of the other. No, we assume that the two blended to constitute the third type of the Kedushas Hayom, which is Shabbos and Kippur hyphenated, which is a new thing. You don't have conflict. It's not that on the one hand you have to fast, on the other hand you have to eat Shabbos Shudas, and you have to determine that the fasting beats out the Shabbos Shudas. And you got to say Kiddush, and you can't say Kiddush. You don't say Kiddush. There's no conflict over here. It's one big blend of Shabbos and Kippur blended in together. So if they blend in together, so not only is Yom Kippur the B'hoi Lechem Lezikaron, Shabbos is also B'hoi Lechem Lezikaron. So this Shabbos, on Shabbos Yom Kippur, when you say the Shemoneh Esrei, say Yalav Yavai, you really ought to say B'yom HaShabbos HaMoreich HaZeh, B'yom HaKippurim HaZeh. If the whole reason why you leave out Shabbos and Yalav Yavai is because Yalav Yavai has no Shaychus with Shabbos, but that's only on a regular Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos, on a Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, then each one is separate. But when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two blend in together. They constitute one Kedushas HaYom, so then you really ought to say the both together. B'yom HaShabbos HaMoneich HaZeh, B'yom HaKippurim HaZeh. This is the discussion that they have in the yeshiva. Sure. When Rosh Hashanah falls out, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean Rosh Hashanah falls out? It always falls out on Rosh Chodesh. That's the question. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik going to say. Rosh Hashanah always falls out on Rosh Chodesh. Maybe there, for sure, you should say it blends in together. Maybe every other Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, that's a coincidence. It happened, I'll be mikra. It can fall out on Shabbos, cannot fall out on Shabbos. Even if it has to fall out on Shabbos, they're two separate dishes. But it could be, could well be, makes a lot of good sense, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh, which it always does, that those two constitute one Kedusha Sayyam. Okay, so you can interpret the Gemara based on this, that's an exception to the rule. And when Yom Kippur happens to fall out on Shabbos, we assume that's also an exception to the rule, that the two blend in together, because they're blendable, because Shabbos and Yom Kippur are kemat the same. They both have an Issa Malacha without any Heter Reichel Nefesh. You're not allowed to cook, even for the children who are allowed to eat. You can't say you're not allowed to cook because you're not allowed to eat. What if you have children who are allowed to eat? What if you have older people or sick people that are allowed to eat? You're still not allowed to cook. It's not that on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook because you can eat, and Yom Kippur you're not allowed to cook because you're not allowed to eat. It's not true. Half of the Jews are eating the Heter on Yom Kippur and still not allowed to cook. So the Teretz is, it's an Issa Malacha without a Heter Reichel Nefesh. Because Shabbos and Yom Kippur have similar Kedushas Hayom, that's why we assume that there the two Kedushas Hayoms can blend in together. We have different levels of Kedushas Hayom. We have Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, lowest level. We have Kedushas Chol HaMoed, we have Kedushas Yom Tov, we have Kedushas Yom Kippur, we have Kedushas Shabbos. And the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tanoim, a dispute among the Tanoim, which has a higher level of Kedushas. We always say, everybody knows the Baal HaBatim will say that Yom Kippur is the holiest day in the year, it's Shabbos Shabbosom. It's higher than Shabbos. It's not exactly so poshut, because the Chumash calls Shabbos also Shabbos Shabbosom. So just because Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosom doesn't mean that it's higher than Shabbos. Shabbos is also called Shabbos Shabbosom. The Gemara has a dispute regarding how many aliyahs you give on Yom Kippur. You know, on a regular weekday, when you give a Kriyas HaTorah on Monday or Thursday, or on Chanukah and Purim, you give three aliyahs, that's all. When the day has something special to it, like a Chol HaMoed, like a Rosh Chodesh, it has a bit of the Kedushas HaYom, then you give four aliyahs. It's already a little more important. When you have Yom Tov, so you give five aliyahs, plus Mafti, you give Mafti seven. And then you're going to have Shabbos and you're going to have Yom Kippur. So these two compete. Which one is higher? Should you give six aliyahs on Shabbos and seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur? Or should you give six aliyahs on Yom Kippur and seven aliyahs on Shabbos? So this is a dispute in the Gemara. The Masechet Megillah, where the Gemara talks about all of the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, but the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion. Akiva was a mystic. A lot of Kabbalah and Akiva is of the opinion that Yom Kippur is higher, like all the Baal HaBatim said. And Halacha Lamaisa, we pass like Rabbi Shmuel. Unusual. Usually we pass like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. Here it's an exception to the rule. The Gemara passes like Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Akiva. As we all know that on Yom Kippur there are only six aliyahs plus Maftir. On Shabbat there are seven aliyahs plus Maftir. So we assume that the Shabbos Shabbosin story, the Helf Mechalsnish, that the Shabbos is higher than Yom Kippur. That the hierarchy is the highest Dushas Hayyam is Shabbos, and next is Yom Kippur, and lower down is Yom Tov, and lower down is Chol HaMoed, and lower down is Rosh Chodesh, and then you have the rest of the day. Yeah, other differences. But always brings people to wonder, why does the halacha make so many madregas in Kedushas HaYom? You have to have so many differences. The Shabbos is on top, and then comes Yom Kippur, and then comes Yom Tov, then comes Chol HaMoed, and then lowest is Rosh Chodesh, and five levels of Kedushas HaYom. And the same thing, the Gemara is so detailed about Tashmishei Kedusha. The Gemara says that a Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin. Why? So the Rambam writes simple, because the Sefer Torah has so many parshas, and Tefillin only has four parshas. In fact, the Rambam has an interesting comment. Rabbi Soloveitchik was fond of pointing that out. Let's say you have the Aseres HaDibrois written, handwritten by the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the original Aseres HaDibrois, not in the shul, Aseres HaDibrois from the manufacturer. The original handwritten by the author, by the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which has a higher Kedusha? A Sefer Torah that was written in the year 1990, or the original Aseres HaDibrois, which is more valuable? If they'd auction it off, we know which is more valuable. Rebbeinu Shlomo's Aseres HaDibrois is more valuable. Which has more sentimental value, also we know. But which has a higher level of Kedusha? The Rambam says the Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDibrois plus more. So the Rambam writes, whatever has more written, whatever has more writing, has a higher level of Kedusha. So the Rambam writes that the Torah has more Kedusha than the Aseres HaDibrois, because that's how the Gemara determines that the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than Tefillin, and Tefillin have more Kedusha than a Mezuzah, because Mezuzah only has two parshas, Shema Ra'ah and Shema Ra'ah. And the Mezuzah only has two parshas, and the Tefillin have four parshas, each one. Then the Gemara goes into details. What about Tefillin Shel Yad versus Tefillin Shel Rosh? They have the same number of parshas, the same exact word for word, letter for letter, the same parshas. So which has more Kedusha? Gemara has a discussion. Oh, the Gemara says the Shel Rosh. Tefillin Shel Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha than the Shel Yad, because it has an extra shin on the outside. The outside of the Baishara has an extra shin, and you wear it to Goli, and the Gemara says how important it is. So one wonders why so many levels of Kedusha, why doesn't Aloha just make things easy? And Zog, you have Kodesh and Chol and Fartik. I remember many years ago we were learning in the yeshiva. Normally yeshiva used to learn our Gemara from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So there was one year that was a strange year. Rav Soloveitchik was learning different things. That was the year that everybody was discussing whether he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael to become the chief rabbi or not. So we were learning odds and ends that year. One of the odds and ends that we learned was Mishnayis Chal, all about Mitzvah HaKlizor. Students thought that was a hint that he's going to go, he's not going to go, he didn't go, whatever. So we spent a few months on Mishnayis Chal, is only four little croquins, it's not so much. To learn it, if you have your side, you can learn Mishnayis Chal in an hour, maximum. It's not so difficult, it's not so complicated. All the Dilim are more or less known from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, how to be Mafresh Chal, when you have Chal, it's not so much. So it took us around 3.5 months to learn the Mishnayis, with all the commentaries on the Mishnayis, with a lot of Yerushalm. So at the end of the completion of the Mishnayis Chal, Rabbi Soloveitchik had a party, and he had his wife on the show with the cake, and he brought soda, and he was so excited, so elated, he said it was the first time in his life that he ever made a seal on anything. He said he never used to learn from the beginning to the end. the big Gemara, he said, Mishnah is Kali, he finished. Mishnah is Kali, he finished both for the first time in his life, made a seal, he had his wife make a cake, and he bought soda from the store. So he gave a little bit of a drasha at the seal, the guys were celebrating, so he gave a drasha. But he was discussing exactly this topic, that when Shabbos and Yom Tov are over, so we recite Havdalah. So we say the bracha, Ham Abdu B'Kodesh L'Kol. What happens when right after Shabbos comes Yom Tov comes on Sunday, or Sunday or Monday, they also say Havdalah. You say, Hamavda ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. Hamavda ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. This is Kodesh and that's Kodesh. This is Kodesh Chomer and that's Kodesh Kam. So they always wondered about that. Why does Allah have so many details? It's Kodesh Chomer and Kodesh Kal. And you have so many Madregas. You have your Shabbos on top and your Kippur after that. And then comes Yom Tov, then comes Kalamoy, then comes Kodesh. And you have Challah has Kedusha and Truma has Kedusha. And Korbanos has Kedusha. And you have Kachikotchim and Kachim Kal. And you have Kachikotchim, you have different Kam. You have Kachikotchim, you have different Kam. Why so many levels of Kedusha and make things easy? He said you have Kodesh and Chol. You have holy and you have non-holy. And the Kodesh is Kodesh and the Chol is Chol. Why does it have to be so complicated? So he said he thought that the answer is that even if you were to divide everything in the world into just two plain categories of Kodesh and Chol, that's also Kodesh and Kodesh. Because we have a klal in the Mishnah in Pharis in the first Perek. If you have a cow, which is kosher, a kosher animal, and you milk the cow, so the milk is kosher. If you have a horse and you have a pig and you milk a non-kosher animal, so the milk is not kosher. If you have a hen and it lays an egg, so the egg is kosher. If you have an ostrich egg, so the Chumash says bas hayano, that refers to the egg that comes, the eagle, the American eagle lays an egg, just like the eagle is trafe, so the eggs are trafe also. You have an ostrich, so the ostrich egg is also trafe. You don't say that all eggs are eggs, no. The Mishnah says hayotim in atohar, tohar, whatever comes out from a kosher animal is kosher. Hayotim in atohar, tohar, whatever comes out from a trafe animal is trafe. So Rabbi Soloveitchik mentioned at that time in the Chassidish Svarim, this is a common idea, he didn't allude to it, he didn't mention it then, but the idea appears in other Svarim. He said that the Ribono Shel Olam is a holy being, he's a Kodesh. If he created a world, Yesh Me'ayin, is a Hayotim and HaKodesh is Kodesh. So everything is Kodesh in the world. So what do you mean? You're going to divide the whole Bria into two categories, into Kodesh and Techol? There is no such thing as Chol. That's our, say a misnomer, that's our way of saying Kodesh Kal, a lower level of Kodesh. There's a high. So right away you say, even if you're going to simplify matters and say, let's just divide everything into Kodesh and Chol, you're already saying that there's Kodesh Chol and Kodesh Kal. There's Kodesh Kal, because Chol means Kodesh Kal, because everything that Ribono Shel Olam created is really Kodesh. But once you're forced into assuming that you have two levels of Kodesh, a more serious level and a lower level, because you have Kodesh and Chol, so you can already say that there are more than two levels. You see the two levels in Kedusha, so you can have many levels of Kedusha. This is a very important idea. Students in yeshiva know that I don't, I hardly quote so much from my college studies. I give the shiur, but there's one comment that I'm fond of quoting. There was a French philosopher by the name of Pascal. He wrote a book on philosophy, Pensée. A whole book, 100 pages. So he writes in his book, somebody can attack me and have a time, what was I mechadesh, what do ideas did I develop? Every single idea that I write in my book, state change, was printed already in books. Before I was born, all the ideas existed, well printed. So what is my originality? So he says the same tiny can be presented against a poet who writes a beautiful, beautiful poem. Every word in the poem appears in the dictionary. What was he mechadish? So the answer is no. Ain't more mechadish given. He put the words, he took the words out, and you look in the dictionary, it's not in the same order that it is in the poem. He takes the words from the dictionary and puts them in order. And comes out an idea, so he says, Pascal says, the same is true if I say 100 ideas, and every single idea is Shtetchen. Every single idea appears in another book that some other philosopher said hundreds of years ago. But if I put it in one arrangement, and they had it in a different arrangement, then the arrangement, which is Zikr, which is Tofel, which ideas are related, which are not related, indicates a different pshat and a different understanding of each and every idea. So each one of the 100 ideas takes on a Panim Kadoshes and has a different understanding. And the same is true in Torah mitzvahs. We're talking religious people. I'm not talking about non-affiliates. We're talking about Orthodox people who are davening shul all the time. We're people who observe all the mitzvahs, all the 613 mitzvahs, plus more, all the mitzvahs. We keep a lot and lots of mitzvahs. And we know that all the mitzvahs are important. But there's still a difference. There is a hierarchy in the mitzvahs. You have to know how do the mitzvahs fit in with each other. What's more important than what? You have Kodesh Chomer and you have Kodesh Kal. Now the Mishnah, what's the difference, what's more important than what? The Mishnah tells you in Pirkei Avos, everybody knows the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Tavizoher, Bimitzvah Kalos, Alach Amura, You have to observe even the lighter mitzvahs with the same diktuk, with the same carefulness as we observe the more serious mitzvahs. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. That's not the difference. The difference is, what do you do when you have a conflict? We don't live in an ideal world where you can keep all the mitzvahs. It's just not so. We live in a real world where there are contradictions. It would be wonderful if we'd be able to keep Shabbos every week. What do? Your wife has a baby on Shabbos. Someone takes sick on Shabbos, you have to drive to the hospital. So what do? So you drive the car, do you get a nochri to drive the car? Can you turn off the key? Can you drive back? Whatever. We have conflicts. If the Baruch Shalom would have seen to it that no one ever gets sick on Shabbos, it would be wonderful. No one would ever have to eat on Yom Kippur, it would be wonderful. We have a conflict. Half of the Jews eat on Yom Kippur. The half are a mitzvah. Of course they're going to eat on Yom Kippur. You have a conflict. So which takes precedence? Yeah, the Koch Nefesh for sure takes precedence over Shabbos. The Koch Nefesh takes precedence over eating on Yom Kippur and eating Chometz B'Pesach and everything, of course. But you have conflicts in all of life. There are conflicts. And you have to determine what's your hierarchy of mitzvahs. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. How does every mitzvah kala kalachmer? We're not recommending that you should only keep the more important mitzvahs and forget about the less important mitzvahs. But what do you do when you have a contradiction and you just can't keep both? So which one do you choose to keep? So there are rules and regulations in the Gemara which run more or less along these lines, that you keep the one that's more important. So it's important to know which is the more important mitzvah. It's very important. And if two people, or if 100 people, or if many Jews in the world, Shishim Ribo Jews in the world, if many Jews believe in all the Tayag mitzvahs, but everybody has a different understanding of what's more important than what the order of the hierarchy is, then each person has a different religion. That's very important to know what's more important than what. For example, you have these Maisim of Hoyan. Take for example, it's very important for a person to be creative, to pursue a career that's to his liking. So the Gemara says, it's not just that a person does machana panose, machta panose, goes get a job, machta panose. It's not strong in that, you make a living, you make a panose. A person who has capabilities to be creative is supposed to be creative. A person has a talent to play piano, or a talent to discover something in physics, or to develop something in chemistry, should taka do. A person has talents to learn Torah, should learn Torah. Every person should go into the field which he's best cut out for. And the Gemara has a comment in Maseches Chagigah, strange comment about the Ribbono Shel Olam crying every day. The Gemara quotes the pasuk to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam sheds three tears every day. So two of the people that he sheds tears about every day are the misplaced people, the people who belong in learning who went into other fields, the people who didn't belong in learning who went into learning. And the third person is someone else. Every person has to go. You don't say everybody has to go learn Torah and Torah, and then if you have to make a parnasa, make a parnasa. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be creative in whatever field we're best cut out for. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of giving this drasha, and it's printed in one of the collections of drashas in English that are available, that he said, we learn out from the pasuk b'halacha b'drasha that we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Mahu afato. Mahu racham lechanan, afato racham lechanan. So one of the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, mahu bari olam, is the Ribbono Shel Olam is very creative. So he wants us also, he gave us kishreinus, he gave us a tzelem elokim, so he wants us also to be creative. Can't create a world, but I have to create with the talents that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me. If he gave me talents, then I'll be a good doctor. So become a doctor. Don't become a Shvacher Rebbe in kindergarten. You cut out to be a doctor, so go become a doctor. If a person has a head, he has a head for physics, so for chemistry. Atush can cut for Gemara. So you tell him, no, break your head, stay in yeshiva, stay in the kollel, try to understand. You won't understand. You'll be a melamed in the third grade. Why should he be a melamed in the third grade? He's cut out for the other thing. That's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying about. He's crying about the misplaced people. Every person has to go into the field that he's cut out for. So fine, there is such a concept. A person has to pursue a career that he's cut out for, whatever he's cut out for. But there's another, that's an important thing in life. But there's another important thing, let's say, a girl has to get married. So on the one hand, let's say, the girl has to pursue her career. She's going to become the greatest doctor in the world. So she finishes college, and then she goes to medical school. And she's so busy, I don't even tell her in medical school, she has no time to go out on dates. And then after she finished medical school, she's gewaldig, she's best one in the class, so they want to give her whatever, a PhD on top of the MD. So she goes another couple of years, and she's very 35 years old. So where's she going to find a guy who's so talented and so bright and so intelligent? How's she going to get married? So it's a question of priorities. Which is doicha which? Which is more important? This taka mitzvah, the mitzvah pursuing your career, whatever you cut out for, that you can give a contribution to the world, is taka gewaldig in mitzvah. And the mitzvah of getting married is also gewaldig in mitzvah. You have to figure out which mitzvah is doicha which mitzvah. Or people have all the time. One of my students called me up this week. I haven't heard from him in years and years. He calls me up and says, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, Magani. He tells me, no, sure, my wife wrote a beautiful tzibur when we got married. That was the first tzibur that she wrote. He tells me his son is going to be bar mitzvah already. I lost track. He's already married over 14 years. He says he's a doctor. He lives in New Jersey. He was just offered a position in Florida. And he flew down to Florida. He flew down. The conditions were gewaldic. The job conditions were gewaldic. To pay everything. Florida. The weather's gewaldic. And then he was looking into education for his children. He had a few children. His boy is going to be bar mitzvah when he has other children. And he was not satisfied with the education there. He says, this is too much lacking Yirah Shamayim, and the other one is no secular studies. And he says, he went to university. He's a doctor. He doesn't want to have children who don't feel that it's important at all to have any secular education. They should look down on the father. He doesn't want that. So he had to make a decision, which is going to be deicha which. The education of his children is a priority, and his job offer is another priority. He has to decide which is more chashuv, and he felt that raising his children properly is much more important than making another $500,000, whatever the offer was, whatever the offer happened to be. Sending the children out of town, in high school, so he's making a whole cheshbonus over the telephone. It's not for him. All of life is full of conflict, and we all have to decide which is Kodesh Chomer, or which is Kodesh Kal. Pasuk in the Navi Zechariah, when the Navi had a vision of the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, when he built the second Beis HaMikdash, the high priest was named Yeshua. So he had a dream, Zechariah Navi had a dream, a vision of the Kohen Gadol, the Hasatan Omer Al Yimino Lesitna, the Yetzirah standing on his right side. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his essays that usually, traditionally in literature, you always describe the right heart, the right side of the heart as being where the place where the Yetzer Tov is, and the left side of the heart, that's a pasuk in Mishlei, Lev Chacham Lemino, Lev Tziva Lesmolo. And we assume, it's not a physical statement, but it's a literary statement, figuratively speaking, that the Yetzer Tov rests in the right side of the heart, and the Yetzer Hara rests in the left side of the heart. So what does the pasuk describe the Yetzer Hara stating on the right, Hasatan Omer Al Yimino Lesitna? Why is the Satan, why is the Yetzer Hara on the right side of the Yeshua Kohen Gadol to get him to do an Aver? The Satan should be on the left side. So the Chafetz Chaim writes a pshat, a pretty popular pshat, people say it over. So he said, when you get to a plain man in the street and you want to make him do an Aver, so the Satan can stand on the left side and get him to do an Aver, no problem. What kind of Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol is a special, holy individual. Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for whatever reason, different reasons. The simple reason is that you may get involved in Chil Shabbos. Today, you're not going to get involved, the people, the sailors are going to take care of the boat. The days of the Gemara, we're afraid that there may be Chil Shabbos, you're not allowed to go. If you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even though you may get involved in Chil Shabbos, Hafnish can bring. You can't tell a person not allowed to go on a boat. If it comes up, because Nefesh, there's a lot of people Chil Shabbos. But if he goes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he's supposed to be worrying about Shabbos, so it looks as if he's putting himself into a situation where he doesn't care about Chil Shabbos. What happens if he has to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Not time for a pleasure trip. What if he's going to Mokhamut? He's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. At some point, he's going to visit Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going to go to visiting Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we'll discuss that later in the series of lectures during the year. But it is a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. 3 days before Shabbat. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for whatever reason, different reasons. The simple reason is that you may get involved in Chil Shabbat. Today, you're not going to get involved, but people are the same, they're going to take care of the boat. The days of the Gemara, we're afraid that there may be Chil Shabbat, you're not allowed to go. If you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even though you may get involved in Chil Shabbat, Hasmanish can bring. You can't tell a person you're not allowed to go on a boat. If it comes up because Nefesh, there's a lot of people Chil Shabbat. So if it goes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he's supposed to be worrying about Shabbos, it looks as if he's putting himself into a situation where he doesn't care about Chil Shabbat. What happens if he has to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? That's not for a pleasure trip. What if he's going to Mokum? If he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael? Or some possible say he's going to visit Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going to go to visiting Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we'll discuss that later in the series of lectures during the year. But it is a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael or to live in Eretz Yisrael. What if he's going to pick in Shvuyim? What if he's going to get married, a mitzvah? So the Mokum mitzvah, we allow you even to start the trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, what if he's going for business? What if he's going for Parnas? So the Rambam says, Parnas is also the Mokum mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to make a living. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. What if he barely ekes out a living and he wants to make a comfortable living? So the Gemara says, it's also a mitzvah. You're not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael unless there's an important mitzvah there. So the Gemara says, what if you don't make a living in Eretz Yisrael? You're allowed to go to Chutzlitz. What if you just make a living with Koshi Gadol? You want to come to America, I have a lot of students and live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't make a living. So they come back to America in the summertime and make a lot of money. Then they go back and in the wintertime they live in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they come to America. So they're permitted to, even though they make enough in Eretz Yisrael to live the koshi, to just pull through by the skin of their teeth. But the Gemara says you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to live a little more comfortably, because that's also considered a mitzvah. A fellow makes $100,000 in Eretz Yisrael. What does he do? I don't know, what does he do? A bank robber? What does he do? He robs banks? And maybe he prints money? I don't know. If a person has a job and he makes $100,000, and he wants to make $1 million a year. So that's not a heifer. That's not a mokum mitzvah. It's an ishkin mitzvah to make parnas. But to make parnas is also a mitzvah. To make a parnas is a mitzvah, suppose. To make parnas is a deicha Shabbos. Is it deicha kashrus, let's say. Is it deicha anything? Of course not. That's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah, and you have to decide which mitzvah is more important. COVID. How many people violate our various with COVID? COVID, terrible thing, COVID. Not so terrible. COVID is a very important thing. COVID ha'adam is a very important thing. Covered abriyas, the mechaber other people, covered atzmo, the Gemara says covered abriyas, doesn't only apply to seek with that you don't insult and you don't embarrass someone else. You have a right to seek with that you have an obligation to seek with that you are not embarrassed. You shouldn't be embarrassed in public. That's part of the din of covered. You might learn that from a pasuk. Lo yitama, it's one of the dinim in the Torah, lo yitama. Covered abriyas, the real din deraisa. It's counted as one of the tariyag mitzvahs. Of course, covered abriyas is important. And the Gemara says covered abriyas is so important sometimes when it comes in conflict with the Torah laws. The covered abriyas takes precedence and you're permitted to violate the laws of the Torah. But there are rules and regulations. Let's say if a fellow is embarrassed to eat, to insist that he's going to say a bracha, let's say he's eating with a client in a trefa restaurant, whatever, and he's going to eat kazer because he's embarrassed to say that he keeps kosher, so covered abriyas is better kashrus. Of course not. He's embarrassed to say that it's a shame of Shabbos, so covered abriyas doesn't take precedence over Shabbos. The Gemara has a lot of rules and regulations. We have a lot of discussion in the Achronim and the Paskin. And the Yehuda and the Divrei Chaim, and I have many, many tshuvas about this, all the ins and the outs. When is covered abriyas, which is a very important consideration? When is it deicha din yatara? When is it not deicha? Covered is an important consideration. It's not a negative thing. And parnas is an important consideration. These are all important considerations. And having a career is also an important consideration. Everything is important. We're dealing with all mitzvahs. The question is, the satan stands on the right side, and he gives us a whole different hierarchy of mitzvahs. That don't die. He talks it into us. That COVID is the biggest mitzvah of all, and it's like everything else. It can wage war against all the other people and so on. No, that part is not correct. It is a mitzvah, but it has its place. You have to figure out exactly what the hierarchy of the mitzvahs are. The Gemara has a very interesting, a tragic story in Masechet Yoma. The Gemara tells the Levim had their job in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim had their job. There were lots of Levim, so how did the Levi know who has the right to do the job? Let's say they played musical instruments while the Kohanim is bringing the Korbanot on the Mizbeach. So which lady had the right to play the music? So the Levim used to be in charge of locking the gates. So the Shorim, the Sukkim Levayon said that the Levim, whose job it was to lock the gates and open the gates, the Shorim, open the shower and close the shower, those are Shorim. And there were Mishorim, and the Gemara says the Mishorah Shashir is an Aver, a Chayit Misa De Shemaim, he's not allowed. So how do you know whether you're a Mishorer? It depends if you have a good voice or not. How do you know if it's your job to sing, or if it's your job to lock the gates? So the psukim say in Chumash, if you read Bamidbar, Ish al Pukudasa, they had a man in charge, and he appointed people, and he said, you're in charge of this. Of course, they had to correspond. If the guy has a big voice, and you don't put him in charge of singing. If the guy's shvach, he can't lock the door. He can't carry a key. He's falling apart, so you don't put him in charge of the gates. It has to be with Seichel, but they had a Mamune, and it was his job to appoint the Levi'im, Ish al Pekudosoi. And the Levi is not allowed to do something that he wasn't appointed for. How do they determine which Kohen has? If they have 100 Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, how do they decide which Kohen is going to chef the Korban? So there's no Pasuk in the Chumash. It doesn't say. There's no din. There's no din. Let's say if you wouldn't have a lighting, if you wouldn't have, let's say you have intersections in the city, and you have no red light, green light, yellow light, no light. And the cars come, and everybody starts honking the horn. So who has the right to go? There's no din in the Chumash. So you have to make some kind of a pshara. You might as well make a pshara. So you say, for 5 minutes this way, 5 minutes to go north-south, 5 minutes to go east-west, whatever. You have to make some kind of a decision. So the Gemara says they had to come up with some pshara, how to determine which kohen has the right to shech the korbanos, which kohen has the right to deserve the dam. So what was the pshara? So the Mishnah Yuma describes in the second paragraph of Yuma, very shayna, originally the practice would be that they would have a mad rush, a mad dash towards the mitzvah. And whoever got there first, the ram, whoever got there first, touched the mitzvah. Or they came within davam, so the mitzvah wins. And they push each other off. And they were running with knives. So it wasn't too healthy. So the Gemara says they changed that. That was the practice. They changed it, and then they drew lots. It became more people. So the Gemara tells about the tragedy that on one occasion there were a whole bunch of young Kohanim running up the Kevish, running up the ramp towards the Mizbeach, and one guy won, and the other guy didn't want to lose. So he took the knife and he stabbed him to death. He fell down and he was dead. So the father of the boy who was killed ran over, and instead of seeing whether his son is dead or alive, he says, take out the knife from his body. The knife is a cliché, it has kedusha, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Take out the knife. So they took out the knife, and then his son started to moan and groan afterward. So they realized that the son wasn't dead yet, he's in the process of dying. So the father lifts his hands up to heaven and says, Baruch Hashem, the knife didn't become from him. The Gemara says, what a meshugana the man is. His son is just killed in front of his eyes. He says, Baruch Hashem, and he doesn't shed a tear about the fact that his own son is killed in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara starts the whole discussion. Obviously, this man has some distorted picture over him. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly was distorted over him? Is it that Shfichas Damim wasn't high enough on the level, it didn't have the proper priority? Murder. Didn't need too much, it should have been much higher than it was. Or is it that they exaggerated the chashivas of Taharas Klei Beis HaMikdash? Was it that they underestimated the importance of Shvichas Damim, or because they exaggerated, they overestimated the importance of Taharas Klei Beis HaMikdash? What's the difference? If you have one thing out of order, everything is kakai. Like Pascal said, if you have one thing out of order, so then all the 613 mitzvahs are wrong. You have a different understanding of everything, and everything is wrong. You have to have everything in the proper order. They're working now on the gene therapy, so they have, you read in the newspapers all the time, not in the field, they read that if you have the DNA is in the nucleus of every cell in the human being, so the DNA is a long string of, they explain it for laymen, it's a long string of letters of the alphabet. They give us to understand. So they have, sometimes the genes are faulty because you're missing part of the DNA. Sometimes you're not missing anything, it's just in the wrong order. The wrong order, you have to put it in the right order. So in the wrong order, everything is going to be kaka. Either everything else in the DNA is straight. There's one thing out of order, everything is no good. That's what the Sutton very often will confuse us. He will confuse our priorities. He'll tell us, Sutton, I mean, all you mean, let's sit and stand on the right and tell us, do a mitzvah. What is a mitzvah? Pursuing a career is a heilige mitzvah. Making a panasa, absolutely a mitzvah. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to go on a trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with a Torah panasa. And even if you make a panasa b'koshi m'dechik gadol, you want to make a panasa b'reva, also a mitzvah, shtei b'meretz, you're permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's also a mitzvah. We're talking about things that are all mitzvahs, and kavod is a mitzvah. Everything is a mitzvah, but there's a hierarchy of mitzvah. You have to know which mitzvah is more important than which, and you really have to know which is there for which. Gemara in the first parak in the first parak of Maseches Nida has a whole discussion, an interesting discussion about when you milk a cow, where did the milk come from? So the Gemara has one Tana that says that the milk comes from the blood. Dam necha v'nasachol. It starts off as blood, and then it converts to become milk. The Gemara says the proof is that when a mother is nursing a baby, she doesn't have her period. That proves that the blood converted into milk, and there's milk, so there's no blood used up all the blood. The other Tana said it has nothing to do with anything. The milk didn't start off as blood. So the Gemara says that according to this opinion, that the milk all started off as blood, how can you drink milk? You're not allowed to drink milk from a non-kosher animal. What about milk from a kosher animal? You're allowed to drink. But blood, you're not allowed to drink. So how can you drink the milk if it comes from blood? Gemara says, no, that's permissible. There's a pasuk in Koheles, which reads, Miyitein mitohar, Miyitein mitame tohar, halo yechol. Where do you have such a thing, hechitimke? Where do you have like a riddle, pasuk says? Where do you have a riddle? That you have something which is straight, and it converts, and it becomes kosher. Miyitein mitame tohar. Who can do such a thing? Who can accomplish such a trick? You start off with some trace of food, and it converts and becomes kosher. Must be the Ribbono Shel Olam does that trick. Halo yechol, the one and only God above in heaven. So he's the one who can do that trick, and this Tana claims that's what that pasuk in Koheles is referring to, that the blood converts and it turns into milk, and the milk is kosher. So Rashi comments on the Gemara, how do you read the end of the pasuk? Miyitein, mitame tohar, halo yechod. That means the one God reads with one God. So Rashi adds on a little bit. He says, no, halo yechod, one God who created everything. He created the kosher and the non-kosher. So since everything emanates from this one God, so even the non-kosher can't be that bad. Even the treif is also, hayotzim and hakodesh is kodesh. Everything is really kodesh. It's kodesh chom and it's kodesh kal. So even the chol or even the treifus is also not 100% treif. It also has elements of kedusha in it. If the Ribbono Shel Olam created it, so it emanated from our mokah, from our shorish kodesh, it also has kedusha. So with a little bit of a nudging, it can convert to become kosher. It can convert to become, that's how Rashi comes. Rabbi Yosef Bengel adds on to the comment of Rashi. He has a drasha where he adds on, he says, there's a strange passage in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, the end of Yuma. The Gemara says that a person did averus all of his life, and then later on finally decides to become a Baal Teshuva. So what does he accomplish after having done Teshuva? Averus, you remain averus. The Gemara says no. It depends how serious he is when he does the Teshuva. If he does such a gevaldige Teshuva me'ahavo, he loves the Ribbono Shel Olam so much and he feels so bad about the fact that he did all these averus. So the Gemara says the averus that he did b'mezid all of his life, the donos, nasin lo kizuchuyos, they're converted into mitzvahs. So he has half, everybody else. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean the averus become mitzvahs? How can averus become mitzvahs? So he says the same explanation that Rashi said. Where did the averus come from? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the courage to do mitzvahs and do averus. Even the averus, which you're not allowed to do, it can't be that it's absolutely 100% osur behechlet. It must have some kind of a shorish in kedusha. If the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the ability to do it, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the HaKodesh. Whatever he made is kodesh. And there are different madregas, and this is a real kodesh kal. You're not allowed to do that. Chilul Shabbos is osur. Eating treif is osur. And carrying on Yom Kippur, if there's no air carrying Yom Kippur, eating Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do that. But it can't be that it's absolutely black, it's so asur. So it has elements of kedusha, except that the elements of tumah and the elements of vera outweigh the elements of kedusha. But if the person does tshuva, then he can convert it into a mitzvah. The elements of kedusha pop up, you polish them up a little bit, and you say, oh, so give me a mitzvah. And the Zohar has that comment on the parasha of Amalek. When we speak of evil in the world, so there are bad people, there are very bad people, there are evil people, the worst of the worst is always depict the worst human being is Amalek. And the Chachamim comment on the pasuk, Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom, Hashem Moche Zara Shal Amalek. The Ribbono Shel Olam swears, Ki Yod Al Keis Ko, Ocham Al Hashem Amalek Medor Dor. The Ribbono Shel Olam swears on his throne. Instead of saying the Ribbono Shel Olam's name, Yud Kei Vav, he says Yud Kei, is missing half of the Shem Hashem, half of the Ribbono Shel Olam's name is missing. And he swears by his throne, it says Keis Ko, Chav Stama. Why Keis? Kisei. A throne, a chair, is it Kisei? Why Keis? So Rashi quotes on Chumash and Bishalach. Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Psochim, Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom, Hashem Moche Zara Shal Amalek. What does it mean? So it's usually understood as follows, that Amalek represents the problem of evil in the world. Amalek was the worst of the worst. And there is a problem of evil if we really believe that if you hold like other religions used to believe, some believe it now, that there's a God of good and there's a God of evil, so there are different forces in the world, so the evil forces stem from the God of evil, and the good forces stem from the God of good. But we don't believe in that. We believe there's one God, Hashem Echadu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam made everything in the world, and there's no other power that exists. So if there's one God in the world and he created everything and he knows what's going on and he cares and he wants it to be a good world, so how come there's so many tzaddikim, tzaddik viralo, rosh v'tovlo? How come everything is kakai? We should see only good. How come you have so much evil in the world? How can it be Amalek? So Kozman, that you have Amalek, it's akasha. So the Gemara says Kozman, that Amalek is around. Amalek represents evil. Kozman, Amalek is around. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom. The perception, the human perception is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not fully in power. That's our perception. It's not true, but that's the impression that we get. And Lasi Lava, when the Chiyas HaMolek will be completed, then it'll be Hashem Shalom, HaKisa Shalom, then we'll realize that the Rabbanu Shalom is really in power over here. So we always speak about Molek as the worst, they're the worst, and he epitomizes evil. And that's why Molek represents the problem of evil in the world. So the Zohar has a comment on the Pasuk in Devarim, when it says you have to wipe out, we have a mitzvah to wipe out the people of Amalek. It says, Lochet Tim Chesech Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim, from below the heavens. So the Zohar says, Mitachas HaShemayim, Lo Lamala Men HaShemayim, above the heavens, Amalek is also Torah. It's only Boila Mazdeh, according to our perception, Amalek is Ra. All the evil in the world, that's the Jewish position. That's our position on the problem of evil. That it's all just a mistaken perception. The Gemara says that when a tragedy occurs, when someone dies or anything terrible happens, you have to recite a bracha by a dynamic. So when something wonderful happens, you know, Irish sweepstakes, you have to say bracha, tell you about making. So they're clearly two different brachas. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in brachas, Kishem Shem, Mevarchem Ala Teivo, Kach Mevarchem Ala Rosh. The same way you recite a blessing when something good happens, you have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too you have to recite a blessing when something terrible, when a terrible tragedy happens. What do you mean Kishem? You say the same bracha, you don't say Atayva Meitiv. You say Dayan HaEmes, a different bracha. Of course, you say a different bracha, but you have to recite the bracha. Dayan HaEmes, with the same joy and the same simcha. People don't do it, but you're supposed to. Why are you supposed to recite the bracha with the same joy and the same simcha? So the commentaries explain, because we believe that everything in the world is good. If the Rabbi Shalom is a good God, so everything that he does is good. So when you have 6 million Jews killed, you don't understand it, that was good. Everything is good. Amalek, everything is good, wonderful, is a good God, and everything in the world is wonderful. We don't say Atayva Meitiv when we see 6 million Jews being killed, because according to our perception, which is a mistaken perception, we have a lot of times mistaken perception, according to our perception, that was a tragedy. We see a lot of tragedies which we think are tragedies. But Ali B'Demes, from the Rabbanu Shlomo's viewpoint, and he has the full picture of everything, he has the full perspective, so everything is good, there's nothing that's evil. So that's what the Gemara says, true, the Nusach HaBracha is different. Here we recite Tatei Vameitiv, and here we recite Dayan HaEmes, because the Nusach HaBracha has to correspond to our perception. But you're supposed to recite the Bracha B'Simcha with the Emunah. You can't see, but we're supposed to have Emunah, that this is also good. We believe that everything that Rabbanu Shalom does is good. Everything is good, even Amalek, which is taken as the symbol of Ra Shebera, the worst thing in the world. So the Torah says, Mitachas HaShemayim, Mochetim Chazal, Mitachas HaShemayim, not Mila Maila Min HaShemayim. Ma'ala min ha-shamayim, from the Rebbeinu Shlomo's viewpoint, from the Rebbeinu Shlomo's perspective, he's up in heaven above, he sees the whole picture, the whole world and history from the beginning to the end. Amalek is also Tov. We think that it's Ra. Lamaisa Amalek is also Tov. Everything in the world is Tov. Everything is Kodesh. It's just that there's Kodesh Chomer, Kodesh Kal, and so on. The Gemara has a din that when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you have to give the Kohen the first Aliyah, then you give the Levi the next Aliyah, then the Shlishi you give already to the Israel. What happens if there's no Kohen? So are you obligated to call up the Levi first? So the Gemara says no. Ein Sham Kohen. If there's no Kohen, it's Barda HaChavila. So Rashi says you're not obligated to call up a Levi. But then Rashi has another interpretation. He quotes one of his Rabbein. Ein Sham Kohen. If there's no Kohen, you're forbidden to call a Levi first. And the Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like that. But on the bottom of the page, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there's such a pshat. And whenever in the yeshiva years ago, we used to sometimes lay Kriyas HaTorah, and there wouldn't be a kohen, and Rabbi Soloveitchik would be there, so they would want to call up Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, no, you're not allowed to call up a lady. It's one pshat and Rashi. He wanted to train the boys that they should remember the pshat and Rashi. Even though the din is not so, Shulchan Aruch says it's optional. If you want, you can call a lady first. If you don't want, you don't have to. And it says, but if the lady is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the group, then you surely call him first, because he deserves the first aliyah, because he's the biggest Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, no, he doesn't want the first Aliyah, the boy should remember that there's such a Shita in Rashi. So he used to discuss it on different occasions. Why not? What's the Avera? Mainly you say you're not obligated to call up the Levi. Okay, if he's not, you're not going to have all three, you're not going to represent Kohen, Levi, so the three parts of the Jewish nation, you're not mechuyav to call the Levi first. It does make sense to show that they're two parts. But to say that it's prohibited to call the Levi, well, what's the Avera? So he used to explain that the pasuk from which we derive the principle that you have to give the coin the first Aliyah, you have to be mechaber the kohanim, is the kitashto, parashat tamar, from which they used to, you have to be mechaber the coin. So Rav Soloveitchik said maybe what it means is the kitashto, that you have to preserve the yuchsin in Klal Yisrael, not only coin. You have to preserve everybody's yuchsin. You have to remember who's a coin, who's a levi, who's a mamzer, who's a cholo, who's hayrasa bigdush, who's hayrasa shalom bigdush. You have to know everybody's yuchsin. You have to try to preserve the yuchsin, but it shouldn't become a tushtosh. It shouldn't be forgotten. So that's why the Mefarshim explained Yom Kippur has this special power. Yom Kippur, the day of Kabbalah, Torah Shabbat Peh, this season of the year has that special power, that special ability. If people will look into the Torah, if people will try to learn a little bit more Torah, we all should learn a little more. I'm talking to myself, I spend all my day in the yeshiva, I can still learn a little more Torah. a little less politics, a little less Torah would be better for everybody. But we all have to learn a little more Torah. And learning more, especially learning more Torah Shema Torah, will give us the proper perspective of the mitzvahs to know exactly what the hierarchy is. And in that way, we will not be misled by the stuff in Huzayim and Al-Yamin al-Sitno to do this Givaldiga mitzvah. Yeah, there's a conflict in the mitzvah. Today, the other mitzvah takes precedence. You have to know what the hierarchy is in order to know which mitzvah takes precedence. I wish everybody a gemar chasim ha-teivo, shlo b'zeche to the gula of Yom Kippur and to the gula ha-asim.
Before you leave, everybody,